In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We don't typically think of weeping on Palm Sunday. That was when Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Did he stop the donkey? Did anyone in the crowd hear him predict the destruction of that magnificent city and temple that they were overlooking? Did they stop waving their palm branches and weep with him? I don't know. But when Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, because the Jews did not know the time of their visitation. They did not know, or they did not care to know, the man approaching them on that donkey, that he was the seed of the woman promised to Adam and Eve, the offspring promised to Abraham, the son promised to David. He was here, God in the flesh, with his people. But they rejected him. They did not believe him. They nailed him to a cross. They sacrificed him for the sake of their own ambitions, to justify their stubborn pride. As Jesus wept over the city of peace of the Jews and the house of God, which he himself had established in the past, he foretold the destruction of that temple. And those terrible days of war and ruin would come about 40 years after this, when the Roman army set up a barricade around the city and hemmed in the Jews on every side and tore Jerusalem and her temple down to the ground and her children within her. And the Romans did not leave one stone upon another. And it's never been rebuilt the same since. But as terrible as those days would be, it was only later that week, after Jesus uttered these tear-filled words, that the true temple of the Lord was destroyed by his own people. That is, the body of Jesus was beaten and killed and pierced and laid under the ground. But then he raised it up again on the third day. Jesus wept, and God's wrath was visited upon Jerusalem because they rejected his grace, his gracious visitation. They did not believe in the one who came to give them the righteousness of God for free. Listen to the epistle. Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They treated God's law as if it was something that they could achieve on their own, as if they weren't corrupted by sin, as if they could stand before God by their own right. They thought that they could make their own peace, or as if they could make up for their sins by their good works. And this is the stumbling, not just of the Jews, but of any sinner who presumes to stand before God on the basis of his or her own merit. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, says the Lord. Jesus is that stumbling stone, that offensive rock, who causes people to fall, because he shows the foolishness of thinking that you can be righteous by your works. If the Son of God, was stricken and smitten and afflicted with the wrath of God in the place of sinners on his cross. And that means that there is no one who can stand. Before God on the cross, bleeding for you, dying for you, you either fall down in worship and praise for the free forgiveness of your sins, or you stumble over God's grace, reject his mercy out of sinful pride, and fall then into shame and destruction, just like Jerusalem. Jesus on the cross, he is the one stone in Zion that won't be knocked down. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. The Jews in Jeremiah's day, just as the Jews in Jesus' day, trusted in themselves, in their own works, in their sacrifices, in their keeping of the letter of the law. And God warned them, do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You can almost hear them stumbling over these words, sputtering, but the temple of the Lord is God's house. This is his dwelling place on earth. This is where we have safe access to him through the sacrifices offered here. Well, yes, that was the divine purpose of the temple and its sacrifices. But the Jews were not using and receiving these properly. Instead, they used the temple and its sacrifices to pursue the righteousness of the law by their working, not by faith in God's promises given to them here, but by what they were doing for God and offering to him and proving. And their works were evil because their faith was false. Jeremiah preaches, will you steal? Will you murder? Will you commit adultery and swear falsely? Make offerings to Baal and go after other gods that you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all of these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. They were using the Lord's house as an excuse for their sin. They took pride in their heritage and that the God of heaven and earth dwelt in their city. They offered their sacrifices exactly as Moses had told them. They claimed the Lord's deliverance, and then they went out and did whatever they wanted. They broke his commandments. They worshipped other gods. So the Lord challenged his self-righteous, stubbornly prideful people. And doesn't this, from Jeremiah, sound just like Jesus when he drove out the money changers in the gospel? I wonder if Jesus even still had tears in his eyes as he flipped over the tables and said, it is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. This house was called by his name, the name of the Lord, the name that no one should misuse. And yet, that is precisely what they were doing by misusing the temple. This house is where God's name dwelt, where they were to call upon the name of the Lord and he would hear them. This house is where the blood of the sacrifices was to cover their guilt, to forgive their sins, and to give them safe access to God in faithful and honest prayer. And above all, this was the place that pointed in type and sign to everything that Jesus was riding into Jerusalem to accomplish for them, as the sacrifice that alone takes away the sins of the world. But they were robbers. They tried to rob God of his grace and use it as an excuse for their sin. And they did not honor God's name or his temple with faith, but twisted it to honor themselves. And in fact, when their Savior came, they refused him and chose the temple, the shadow, instead. The Jews claimed their self-righteousness by using deceptive words. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. What good things of God do we twist to justify ourselves and excuse our sin? Do we say, I was baptized here? I was confirmed here? I was married here? Or even just, I'm a nice person. Now, those might be true, even as it was true that that building was the temple of the Lord. But without true faith in Jesus, you are trusting in vain and deceptive words. Will you scheme after wealth and shortchange your neighbor? Will you hate your brother? Gossip about your friend, defile marriage with lustful thoughts or actions? Will you excuse the worship of false gods or imply that the pure teaching of God's word does not matter? And then come here and stand before God in this house, which is also called by his name, and say, we are delivered only to go on doing all of these abominations. Baptism, confirmation, trying to live a moral life are all good things, but not when they are used as excuses for sin. Not when they are trusted in apart from Christ and what he gives. If we try to justify ourselves, if we try to establish that we are right, then we will stumble over the stumbling stone, and we will be put to shame. Repent and submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of sacrifices. Christ is the end of works. Because he offered the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. He accomplished the all-sufficient work for righteousness. And not for himself, but for you. He accomplished for you a righteousness that is by faith in him. So confess your sins, weep over them, and come to the new temple. Come to Jesus Christ. Jesus came and cleansed out the old temple and proclaimed that it was going to be destroyed because the people had rejected him, its fulfillment. The time for the temple was over. It is useless. Woe to anyone who thinks they ought to rebuild it today, because the time of its misuse is over. Jesus Christ himself is the new temple. He is the new dwelling place of God with all people. He is the one who has been torn down and has been rebuilt in 3 days' time. And we can pray to God calling upon his name through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, our Lord. He is the new house of God, called by his name. In Jesus, we have access to God and we have the free forgiveness of sins. Not through the blood of animal sacrifices, but through God's blood shed for us. In Jesus, we have the merciful presence of God, not in cloud and fire, but he is present in the speaking and in the hearing of his word. And yes, he is bodily present in his crucified and his risen body and blood. These are the things that make for the true temple of God, the true temple of the Lord, in which all of our trust is to be placed. These are the things that make for the forgiveness of sins. These are the things that make for peace with God. And wherever and whenever you receive the Lord's word and sacraments in faith, then you know and you enjoy the time of your Lord's gracious visitation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.